have a question. When you talked this morning about emotions, and when you're just full of emotions,
mm-hmm.
what would you recommend to do?
I would recommend to spend time with them.
With the emotions?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. That's what we don't do. Emotions are just complicated things in lots of ways. And the way we look at everything is kind of very short term. But we can't look at emotions that way. They're not short term things. Yeah, and so we can't change the way we feel like the way we change our trousers. It is a different kind of process. But it doesn't also mean that they're like cast in concrete or cut out in stone. Just because we feel one way towards something now doesn't mean we will feel that way towards it always, and we all know this, of course. And so, but we need to remember that when we find ourselves in emotional places that we don't seem to be able to get out of. And that, see, so often when we find ourselves in difficult emotional places, then we fall into the belief that they will be there for always. Or even that they have always been there already, even although they haven't. And so that's the tricky phase of emotion. They tend to deceive us in that way. What we need to remember about them is that they are not permanent things. The way we feel has got a lot to do with the way we perceive things. Perception is there's many ways we can perceive things or look at things, yeah? And you see it a lot in the purpose of our lives. They will show us how we perceive it. It's very difficult for us to see outside our perceptions of things. If for a person who believes that the whole of life is about pleasure, for example, is it very difficult to see there could be another reason for living. Or for a person that see life in terms of safety and security, it's very difficult for that person to see that there could be another reason for living outside being safe and secure. But of course, there are many, many ways you can perceive life, and there are many purposes for living. The chakras, they sort of describe it very well. If you look at the chakras, in terms of perception, Muladhara is all about safety and security. That's the way we perceive it, life when the Kundalini is in resting in Muladhara. That is our perception. That's how we see it, and we cannot really see beyond that. And then, when the Kundalini is active in the Swadhisthana, then life is all about pleasure and having a good time, and we cannot really see or view life outside that. I mean, maybe we fall back sometimes and feel insecure, and then so there can be that sort of dynamic, Then, in Manipur, we again look at it different. The life is more about power, control. And then, in Anahata, again, it's about love, getting it and giving it, and so there's a more that kind of, that's the perception, and that kind of occupies us more than anything else. And in Swati, in Vishuddhi again, it's other things like morality, where we begin, where we start seeing things in terms of like maybe morality, like a more we create sort of structures, rule-bound structures. That's more Vishuddhi. And we try to sort of create order in life by making rules and regulations. And then again in Agya it changes. Then it's about being awake and being aware. Yeah? That is a more like a more spiritual sort of outlook on life in Agya. So like our perceptions, they decide a lot of about how we view or perceive life and the purpose we live with. Emotions, I think like what's important for us is we begin to create a different kind of relationship to our emotions. And the problem, of course, is that for most of us, then the identification with them is so strong, and we believe it to be who we are. We think we are our feelings. And, you know, that is true to a degree, but ultimately, of course, it's not true. So it's not like just because maybe you feel you're a bad person, that may not mean you are a bad person, for example. Or just because you feel you are hopeless doesn't necessarily mean you are hopeless. Or just because you feel you're the greatest person in the whole universe, that may not actually be the case that you're the greatest person in the whole universe. So, like, feelings are something like... And then there's all the more powerful feelings in our lives, like falling in... love and out of love and like guilt and abandonment and all those kinds of feelings and anger and fear and all of that stuff. And it's very important we understand that like all this has got very little to do with the present moment we live in. And it's really like more... the remnants of the past that intrudes into the present, to put it that way. And they are sort of intruders into the present moment. And so like, if you look at yourself in moments where you are like maybe afraid or guilty or something, and then like that has most of the time got very little to do with now, and also it has got very little to do with the person you're getting angry at. I was talking with somebody earlier, and other people are important in terms of spiritual practice and sadhana, just insofar as they wake this stuff up in us. Yeah. So they play a very important part that in that way. Without other people, then this stuff would just stay asleep in us. But the problem is, like, just because it's not obviously active doesn't mean that it does not affect our lives. So, like, we may not be aware at any one time of, like, the fear that lives in us. It may not be obvious, but that doesn't mean that fear is not there. And it doesn't also mean that fear does not influence your life. And you see it like in the decisions you make. Like how many of the decisions you made are made from fear, even you don't know they're made from fear. Or how many of the decisions you make that are made from anger, even maybe you don't know they're made from anger. Or the decisions that are made out of guilt and you don't even know they're made out of guilt. So like these undercurrents, they exist in all of us. And it's really important that we wake them up, and then so we can see them, and we can begin to work with them, or like I say, we can begin to create a different kind of relationship with them. Because like the real big problem we have with all this stuff is we don't want it to be there. And that is ultimately our problem. Like it's there and we don't want it to be there. And so that creates the problem. Like if I have an experience of fear and it comes up, then I think, immediately I will think, oh wow, that's interesting. And I think, where does that come from? And it makes me curious. And there's no like sense in me of needing to block it or avoid it or pretend it's not there. It's just, for me, it just evokes curiosity. So like that's what we need to do. We need to create a more creative sort of relationship with these feelings. The reason we have the awkward relationship we have to them is that we are so fearful of being overpowered by them. They can swamp us. But we need to realize that this is a much more likely to happen when we have an antagonistic kind of relationship to them. Like we keep them alive and we also reinforce them or feed them by our own hostility towards them. So like if we can create a relationship that's more based on like curiosity and also a little bit of skepticism, then they don't have the same power over us. And of course, I know it's easy to say, and it's a little bit more difficult to practice. But it is possible, and like you start in little ways. You start with little things. That's why we practice every day. It's why we sit down every day. Maybe even nothing really is happening in the mind and it's kind of quiet and we still sit down for half an hour and it sort of goes around and does the same things and says the same, and it feels a bit guilty and it feels a bit confused and a bit chaotic and a bit angry and all this. We know it when we sit down and the mind does all its stuff. But it's important that we do it every day, and we learn to sit with the little things. This is where we learn it. Sitting with the big things is difficult, but it's as possible as it is to sit with the little things. I can, if I fall in love, you know, it's possible, huh? If I fall in love, I think, I think either it'll probably last 3 days. No. I think that'll probably last 3 days. So I relax into it. I look at the feelings. I allow it to be there. I don't have a problem with it being there. I live in it. I feel it. I go into it. And then in the next moment, I'm busy doing something else. Like life takes over. It's like, you know, it's, if there's no fight, this stuff don't, it doesn't stay around. Like fear, like if you're not afraid of it, it has no power. It's our own sort of reactive relationship to it that creates the problem. It's not the things themselves, love or fear or guilt or anger, it is not. It's not the things themselves, it's our relationship to them. And so that's why we have to change them. And we do it by sitting. We sit. And it goes on. We sit with it and we breathe. Or we or we go so hump up and down the spine. And like every time you return to the present moment, it weakens this deceptive and also destructive emotional structure that we all carry inside. But like we see the problem with us so often is we want everything to happen really quick. I'm feeling really, I'm really fearful, or I'm really sad, or I'm maybe even grief-stricken, and like, and then we want it to go away immediately. We don't want it to be there, and then we block it, we suppress it, we reject it, we fight it, we distract ourselves, we do everything we can to get away from it. And for that reason it follows us around like a dog with a bone. That's what happens. Like your emotions are not something you can get rid of by wanting to get rid of them. You get rid of them by seeing them for what they are. And they are, it's just energy. Is it nothing else? It's just energy. And I like to say to people, you know, they say, oh, but I get angry. And I say, that's a spiritual experience. Anger is a spiritual experience. Like, it's energy. Like, you can do something else with that energy. Yeah? It's like, and it's really important when we talk about spiritual life and sadhana, like, we need energy. It cannot happen without energy. What would happen? The mind is just, it just goes stagnant without energy. Like, we need energy. So when we have it, it's a good sign. So, like, when we get angry, it's not a bad sign. Now, of course, depending on what we do with it, yeah, it is productive or counterproductive. But like, if we can see it for what it is, it's like a burst or a bubble of energy, and we can take it and do something else with it. And so, like in terms of sadhana, that is what we do. Also, we sit, for example, and then anger comes up, and then we come back to the breath, and then we breathe. And we breathe, and the anger is there, and we breathe, and then we fall back into the anger, and we fight with somebody in our own minds, and then we sort of come back out of it again, and then we return to the breath. And we keep doing this. Like, it's a slow process. Is it not something that happens fast? And that's what we need to understand with the emotions. Is it not like an overnight thing? We have to take the long view. The more we want to change the emotions, the less they will change. The more we want them to get better, the worse they will become. It's a matter of just relaxing, seeing them for what they are, and let them float by. And for that, we have to learn to stay where we are. Like all this stuff, anger and sadness and grief and depression and hatred and jealousy, it's the past. It has got nothing to do with now. It is the conditioned mind. And like we have to bring the energy into the present moment. And then we do that in many ways. We do it by meditating, coming back to the breath. We do it by chanting, like we've been doing today. We do it by karma yoga, also by putting our energy into the present moment in a practical way by creating things and utilizing the energy in that way. So it's all about coming back to the now all the time. We can do it in different ways, but it's all about coming back to the now and understanding that the present is something we can only have or enjoy if if we're willing to leave the past behind. So it's identifying it and then just relaxing in the face of it. You see, we don't have to believe everything the mind says. We are too gullible when it comes to our own mind. You know, anything the mind comes up with says, you see how it works. Your mind says, oh, I'm sad. And then you say, I'm sad. Or the mind says, I'm angry. And then you says, I'm angry. But, you know, it's two different things. You don't need to go along with this. This is not written anywhere. You have to. Like, you can. This stuff comes up and you say, all right, hi. And then you say, okay, if you want to stick around, stick around. But I'm not going to pay you too much attention. I'm going to acknowledge you are there, but I'm not going to get too involved. Because I kind of understand what it is. But it also comes along with the willingness to feel our own feelings. Because it's not like you cannot escape the way you feel. So that is very important. Like you have to feel the sadness to dissolve the sadness. You have to feel the jealousy to dissolve the jealousy. You have to feel the anger to dissolve the anger. And so that our problem lies there in many ways. We don't really want to feel this stuff. It's like today when we chant, stuff comes up. And like our normal attitude to a lot of it is, of course, I mean, we're having a nice time, so that, you know, and we enjoy being together, and so, like, it's easy enough, there's no big problems, but, like, stuff comes up, and then we have to learn to appreciate when that happens. We don't do it, I think, often. But we have to think, wow, there's some energy there and I can use this. If I can find a way with it, I will have more energy. And like I was talking with somebody and they say, oh, it's so difficult because you have to stay awake. But then there is no other option. We have to stay awake. We have to find a way of staying awake. Like that is there is no other way to live a good life or to live a full life. I mean, we cannot do it sleeping or half present or half awake. Is it not possible? We need to be fully awake. Like, and we should be. Like, we're just here once. Yeah, I mean, it's not like we don't get this chance too often. Like, being here. It's a special moment. And so, like, why waste it in a sort of like reactive mindset, lifestyle, where all we do is like react all the time. Where there is no like love or awareness or openness. Where there is no ease. Where everything is tension and stress and conflict and friction. It doesn't have to be like that. It's possible to relax into life and accept it and accept yourself and be open and not judge it and not judge yourself also. Because when we judge ourselves, it doesn't help. It's not about judging. Is it like, it's all, like I just said, Vishuddhiya, it's all these rules, and it should be like this and should be like that. And don't do this and don't do that. But spiritual life is not like that. It's not about all these rules. It's about being free, but it's also about understanding like what works for you. Don't believe everything your mind says is a good starting point. Yeah. Use your intelligence. Don't just jump in. When it says jump in, just take a look at it. Sit down somewhere. Clear your head. We don't have to be slaves of the mind. This is not necessary. We can live free. It's what we're meant to do. It's very simple, we just start where we are. Every day, we start where we are. We sit down with who we are. And then we look at it. And we stop believing in all of it. Just in a sort of indiscriminate, naive way. Like watching the breath. It's real, it's uncomplicated, it's now, breathing in, breathing out. Yeah, it's just so simple. And then everything that bubbles up around that has got nothing to do with now. You let it go. Then you watch the breath, breathing in, breathing out. And then the anger bubbles up, and you see the anger bubbling up. And then you breathe in, and you breathe out. And then the anger goes. Or maybe it doesn't. But you breathe in, and you breathe out anyway. Maybe it stays, maybe it goes. It doesn't matter. You breathe in, and you breathe out. And then jealousy comes up, and you breathe in, and you breathe out, and then it goes. If you do it for long enough, just stay in the present moment. Be where you are. We can all do it. Maybe we can do it for maybe only 3 breaths. And then we lose it. But then we can come back again. Then maybe we can do it for 4. The next time around. Before we lose it. And then we come back again, maybe we can do it for 5. It's how we do it. Just step by step. By persevering. By not giving up. By not being distracted. And it's not like we have to do it every hour of the day, but we have to sit down and do it for some time every day. We have to start somewhere. We have to break the ice. That's how we do it. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. We start somewhere. It's like creating an attitude inside. Where your default position becomes now. Right now the default position inside is the past. That's where we go automatically all the time. But we can create another default position that's called now, here. but only if we practice. That is the only way it can happen. Chanting Om three times all together. Deep inhalation. Hari Om Tat Sat.